Hi, everyone. Sean Barker back here from dadfitness.com, and I'm back with another exciting call. I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy this guy. He's strong in many different ways, and we'll definitely get into that. It's Elliot Hulse is on the line with us tonight, and he's going to cover some great stuff and how he balances family and fitness. And he's a man of muscle as well as motivation, so I'm sure you guys are going to get a lot out of this call. So welcome to the call tonight, Elliot.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. I'll give Elliot a brief intro here, and I'm sure he could delve into some deeper stuff in terms of his career and his family as well. But Elliot's a certified strength conditioning specialist. He's nationally ranked strongman. He's also a holistic lifestyle coach and owner of Strength Camp, a sports training and fitness boot camp service in St. Petersburg, Florida. So, definitely he's one of the top guys in the fitness industry and definitely knows what he's doing. So, Elliot, if you can maybe go into a little bit deeper in terms of what you do down there and as well maybe get into your family background.
Well, just to make a slight whiteout correction on your intro, I'm actually a professional strongman right now, and I had to dedicate a lot of friggin' time and energy to get that. So
wow.
I like to bring that to the forefront. But what I do down here, I guess what you're looking for is how I go about my typical day. And basically, I train athletes and I train men in order to help them achieve their fitness and sports performance goals. I have a gym where I do that. And then I spend a significant portion of my day with online education programs where I write articles and I make videos to teach people outside of the realm of my city about the benefits of fitness, similar to what you do, Sean.
Yeah, it's great stuff, Elliot. So now to get into the family side of things, you've certainly got your hands full in that arena as well, if you wanted to brief us on that.
Yeah, well, that is probably the biggest portion of my time is spent with my family, and I'm proud to say that. I have three daughters, one who is in kindergarten. She's going to be 6 in August. I have a 2-year-old who will be 3 in December. I have a 1-year-old who will be 2 in December. And my wife is expecting our 4th, which is the boy. He's due in August as well. So I'm living in a house full of women, and we'll get our boy in a couple months, and I think we'll be set at that point.
Nice, nice. You finally have a little guy on your side for sure. So, Elliot, you briefed on us on basically a typical day in terms of what you do for other guys. So, of course, a lot of the busy dads, I hear from, they want to know, of course, what the experts do themselves for sure. So, if you can just get in some of the nuts and bolts, and maybe your current circumstances of. Of what your recent injury, which I guess you can tell everyone about, but your regular workouts and how often during the week you work out.
Well, I got to tell you, I know that your market and the guys that are listening to this are busy dads. So obviously, you guys don't have very much time to spend on exercise. So you're probably listening to this call and you're thinking, well, this guy's a trainer. He freaking lives at a gym. He owns a gym. So what's the big deal if he spends time training? It's what he does. Well, like I said to Sean earlier when we were talking before this call, I tend to just try to make things difficult for myself, and I shoot for challenges that are basically outside of the realm of what most people would even consider doing. So my training didn't consist of what you would think of as normal exercise, 30, 45 minutes a few times a week. I was training 2 or 3 hours sometimes, several times a week, in order to fulfill my goal of becoming a professional strongman. So I was pretty much a maniac with regard to that, and I designed my life so that I can tackle certain goals, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, but that was one. So I didn't have a sensible training program. Spent a lot of time lifting heavy weights, and essentially, very recently, I injured myself. And it wasn't during training, but it was due to the fact that my training was imbalanced because I spent so much time lifting heavy weights. And as injuries typically do occur, it was during a very freak accident. Basically, I was helping my dad pull out some tree roots, in his yard, and I tore my bicep. And like I said, because of the imbalance in my training program, the nervous system was just driving so much energy into my biceps as opposed to the muscles in my upper back that would have been just a little bit better form, and I tore the tendon. So I don't know if that's – I'm probably not a good example as to what you should do with regard to training up until that point. But since then, I've had several breakthroughs consciously and creating – or not even creating, but going back to a better balanced plan. And this may be of value to you. What I am currently doing is what I call a hybrid training program, because essentially what most people want is a stronger, leaner body. And as opposed to the imbalance where I was just training for strength, I am now including way more conditioning, short rest intervals into my training programs. And they're just much more sensible and don't take up as much time, so I can dedicate a little bit more to my business and to my family.
Yeah, that's some awesome stuff, Elliot. Like, you know, it's basically, you know, what you mentioned there brings me to a great thing I've heard. You know, basically the harder you make things on yourself, the easier life is. And you mentioned that, you know, you like to make things difficult. But in the long run, that makes things easier, I guess, in terms of achieving your goals. And, you know, of course, that's a huge component of getting to where you want to be is your goals. And like I said, we'll probably touch on some more of that after. But, yeah, that's great. So, Elliot, you know, you're a busy dad, of course, and ever since you became a father, how has, you know, fatherhood changed your approach to fitness?
Well, fitness. Let me put it this way. Let me step back one, just a little bit further beyond what you're asking me. How has fatherhood changed my life or my paradigm on life? That's probably a better question, because fitness just fits in with one of the values that I've chosen to be important in my life. And fatherhood, well, to answer the question that I basically made up, not the one you asked me, the way fatherhood has changed me has essentially taken the attention off of me. And as strange as that may sound, you know, most people are like, well, especially if they're new fathers or they haven't grasped this concept yet or they're not fathers yet, it's like, well, how is that good? You know, you can't focus on yourself anymore. You can't take care of yourself. You can't do things you like. Your life is dedicated to someone else. But it's empowering, because you no longer have to worry about yourself. Everything that you do is of service to your family. So when I design my life, and I think that's an important concept to consider, and we can talk about it later, but we all design our lives. Life doesn't just happen to us. I think for the most part, people believe that how life happens to us, but it's a series of choices that brings us to what our life ultimately looks like. So we are designing it, whether we consciously do it or not. I just lost myself here.
No, yeah, that's awesome. Like, yeah, a lot of guys, and I see that so often, people just think that life happens to them and they have no control over their daily circumstances. But, you know, what you talked about is getting in control and designing your lifestyle around what matters, you know, whether it's your family and fitness, of course. So, you know, maybe that would roll into sort of my next question in terms of what is your definition of a strong dad? Of course, you know, it encompasses many different things, from the physical to the emotional to the spiritual. If you can touch on that.
A strong dad is a dad that has his center. A strong dad is a dad that can detach from the world around him and look at it with a discerning eye. And that's in every realm of his life. A strong dad is a dad that can make decisions for his family, that can be a leader for his family. And the number one way for him to do that is to live as that example. Now, I mentioned earlier about choosing your life and making decisions about your life. One of the absolute most important thing with regard to that is choosing the things that you value. And once you've got a clear understanding of the things that you value, and if it's like three or four things, you've got your hands full, then it's very easy to proceed. So with regard to fitness, I've chosen health and fitness as a top value of mine, and essentially I will live that way in order to bring an example to my children. And all the choices that I make for my children proceed from that also. So when you are clear about your values, nothing gets in its way. So I hear a lot of people tell me, like, they don't have time to exercise, or they don't have enough money to buy healthy food, or there are lots of little challenges that get in their way. But what they're basically saying to me when I hear this is, I don't value health that much. I don't value fitness that much. They may think they do, and they may say they do, and it sounds nice, but they've never stated it to themselves. They've never written it down or considered it. So when you've chosen your values, and I'm not saying everyone should value health. I personally believe if you don't value health, then everything else is going to suck. But, you know, we're all different. But you've got to choose what you believe. Every single person has to sit down and take a few moments and decide, from what platform will I make decisions? And that platform is based on the values you choose. So being fit and making decisions about exercise and eating well is no longer an issue. You don't have to consider it because it's just who you are. That you say no to everything that comes against that because it's one of your few values.
Yeah, that's some great stuff because, you know, of course the role modeling thing comes into play there, and we all know, you know, when we have kids, they do what, you know, you do, not what you say most of the time. So you think role modeling is important with that as well?
Your children are a mirror reflection of you. And I'm pretty bold when I say this, and I don't know what my kids are going to be like in 10 years. I think I do know what my kids are going to be like in 10 years because I'm creating them on a daily basis. Your children, I say, show me your family and I will tell you who you are. Your children are going to reflect your values, they're going to reflect your behaviors, they're going to reflect the character that you show them on a daily basis by the way you talk to them, by the things you show them, by the attention that you provide to certain things. We live in a society and just in a time where our values are basically chosen for us. Our government chooses our values. Our friends choose our values. The TV chooses our values. Popular culture chooses our values, and we never give it a second thought. So I can instantly tell who's running your family by looking at your children, by the way they dress, by the way they talk, by the things that they're interested in. So as far as being a role model, it goes back, and I feel like a broken record, but it goes back to that original statement of choosing your values, living your values, and your children will be a mirror reflection of that without you having to force it down their throat or be some sort of a dictator. It's just, it's a part of the culture in your home.
Yeah, that's great. I hope that really rings true with a lot of guys listening because, some important stuff that maybe a lot more people should stop and think about. So you mentioned about, of course, the healthy foods. I've seen you do a good bit of writing on what you think is wrong with healthy foods. You can elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know what?
Healthy foods, per se.
It's funny because you and I mean, if you're listening to this call, I'm shedding some light on Sean for you right now. We're marketers. Basically, we have information and products that are beneficial to other people. Well, we believe in our hearts are beneficial to other people. And it's a part of our job to show you its benefit, and that way you can partake of it. And in return, we receive benefits as well. So you'll either pay us for our information or our training or anything of that nature. Where this goes bad, I love capitalism. I think capitalism is awesome. But when it gets into the hands of greedy people, people who don't have your best interest and value in mind, where basically nameless, faceless corporations are demanding, or their shareholders are demanding a profit, regardless of how people are being treated, especially the customers are being treated, then shit goes wrong. Then it just gets ugly. And that's the foundation from which we're receiving our information. Because healthy food, quote-unquote healthy food, is being... Let me put it this way. The only reason why you know, quote-unquote, what is healthy is because the television has told you so, or your school teachers have told you so, or the USDA has told you so. Commercials tell you so. Corporations tell you so. These are all people who have interest in and really covering their own asses. For the most part, they don't really care about your health. They want you to buy their stuff. So whatever they can do to manipulate your mind to have you believe that what they've got is good for you, they're going to do, and they're going to say. They're going to brainwash you. They're going to have all types of doctors and studies, all type of clowns and puppets manipulating you to spend your money on their garbage. To know what healthy food is, it's pretty simple. You just erase everything that everyone tells you. If the television tells you something is healthy, I can guarantee you it's not healthy. I was reading somebody's Facebook update today, and she was talking about taking Activa yogurt because it was supposed to be healthy for her. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I see so many commercials for that liquid candy that they probably throw a little bit of probiotics in just to have you believe that it's good. But this poor girl is spending her money and sucking this stuff down, thinking that it's like it's helpful to her. But you never see a commercial for an apple, do you?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's an analogy I use lots of times. You'll never see, maybe you will down the road. It's getting so bad, but you'll never see an apple with low fat on it. But basically, if it says healthy food of some claim on the package, and that's the hint right there. It's probably obviously got to be in a package to have a label on it and to be promoting this marketing crap. So this makes it clear right there.
Here's an interesting thing. Most of the processed foods that we're eating came about around World War II, and that's when they started trying to figure out how to make foods last longer so that the soldiers could carry it overseas and use it. And they did a lot of laboratory stuff. A lot of this shit was just made, in laboratories. It totally went against our agrarian culture. Most of what we ate came from the earth or was meat, it's just basically that it was human. We were humans at that time. But then we started getting really technologically advanced, mostly due to military needs. And once they realized that there's such a market value in having these foods last, forever on shelves, milk really shouldn't last more than a few days. But when we pasteurize it, i.e. process it, it lasts for a month or 2 months. So let's tell everybody that it needs to be pasteurized, otherwise it's not healthy and going to make them sick. That way they won't drink anything besides the shit that will stay on the shelf for 4 months. And this is all the packaged and processed foods. When they started bringing this stuff to the general marketplace, people were skeptical. In the 1940s and 50s, whatever the case may be, the American public was skeptical. They were like, what is this? This is not food. How could it last this long? That's when our intuition was still good. That's when we were still slightly connected to our roots. So what they had to do, it's very interesting, what they started doing is, because at first what they would do is they would just put this processed food in a regular bag, and it would not look right, but it was hey, it lasts forever, and people were like, no way, I'm not buying that shit. So what they started doing, and if you go to your supermarket, you'll notice that it's still here today, and it won't go away. They started putting these foods in flashy, shiny packages and boxes. If you look down the frozen food aisle box, and look inside the freezers, you don't see food. You see pictures of food because inside those boxes there is no food. But they've got to trick you into buying it. So the marketers realize that. They realize, if we want people to buy this stuff, we've got to at least put pictures of real food on it. You think what you see on the box in a for frozen food or processed food is what you're really eating? No. They take a picture of real food or enhanced-looking real food, and then they put their processed crap in the box hoping that you'd buy it, and most people buy it. Even if it's in a green box that says healthy, heart healthy. I love that one. Heart healthy, eat this. And most people buy it.
Yeah, you mentioned in the Michael Pollan Food Rules book, basically, eat stuff that rots. It's very simple. I like that, sure. But, it's some great stuff. So, guys, you'll definitely hear that Elliot, he knows his stuff nutrition-wise. He's a big, strong guy, but he definitely knows what he, what's right in terms of putting good stuff into your body. So we'll switch gears in terms of he also said a statement that maybe some guys might think is a bit controversial, but why do you think fitness gyms suck?
Well, fitness gyms, and again, it goes back to the – I mean, you guys listening to this – I will repeat, I love capitalism. I am an entrepreneur, and I think capitalism is great. But the reason why fitness gyms suck is because no one gives a shit about fitness and fitness gyms, especially the people who create them. They're just designed to get people who have false hopes and fantasies to spend their money to walk in the door and feel good about themselves, about the monthly due for what they will never use. They're not designed for your well-being. They're not designed for education and physical education and physical culture. They're designed like just to make you feel like you're doing something. Like when you buy that box of food that's green and it says heart healthy on it, you probably feel good about yourself. Like, well, damn it, you know, the guy over there who bought the one that didn't say heart healthy, he's a sucker. I bought the one that says heart healthy. So for the most part, I'm not saying everyone, but for the most part, and I work at these gyms and I've spoken with the membership managers, and they're like 90% of the people who buy memberships never come in, and they'll let their membership dues re-up. Like, you know, they'll charge them for like a year before most people will even come in, because there's some power in intention, but it's never acted on. So they feel good about themselves because they made the initial effort, and they have a little bit of intention, and every time they see that credit card statement that says $54, they say, oh, yeah, I got to get to the gym. Gyms know this. Fitness gyms know this. They don't want you to come in. They want to keep charging you. So there's no wonder why most of them are going under now during this economy, because everyone's fed up with bullshit. But their original intent was never to help you get fit.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of, you know, powerful things at play there, and that's why it seems like the trend is going towards, you know, like even guys like us showing other busy guys that, you know, there's other options. And just because you can't get to the gym and feel like you're paying your dues, whether it's your membership or your time, you know, you could get short workouts done, you know, whether it's home or so, you know, basically you're into strongman training. So we'll get into that and how that can benefit. Like, why do you think that's a good way? Is that a good way to, for, you know, just a regular Joe to start training and, you know, the benefits of it?
Well, here's what attracted me to it more than anything. most fitness programs or not any longer, I think people are evolving. I think the industry is evolving to a great degree. But when I first started out, most fitness programs were based on fake movement. And as human beings, I've got this primal mentality. I'm really old school or old fashioned. I tend to think that we should do things the way we were designed to do them. We should think and behave the way we were designed to think and behave. Well, this is no different with exercise. As we evolved as human beings, as like arms and legs came out of our torso and our digestive system was developed, our original intent for movement was to go hunt for food, go climb and build shelter, was to protect ourselves. And we didn't exercise because we ate too much. We exercised so we could eat. And that's our original intention. We had to get up and do stuff, or we didn't eat. Now we just freaking eat, and we get up and do stuff because we feel guilty. And
That's awesome. Elliot, if you can just repeat that for a lot of guys, because hopefully if they hear it the second time, that might really sink in.
Well, I don't know if I can do it verbatim, but essentially the way our physical bodies were designed was so that we can get up and move so we can find food to eat. If we didn't move, we didn't eat. But the way lifestyles have created the way things are today, we eat, and then we get up and move because we feel guilty, which is just as backwards.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so when I consider that, I say, well, then exercise programs should mimic what we were designed to do, which is hunting, gathering, and building. And this would include, like, just for example, if you were hunting for a deer, I'd imagine you'd get up really early in the morning, and you'd have to, like, trek several miles before you got to where the deer and the antelope roam. And you'd probably have to climb a tree and watch it for a couple minutes and then, like, throw a rock or something or, like, throw a spear. And that's not going to kill it instantly. You're probably going to have to chase the sucker down while it's bleeding. You're going to chase it probably for, like, 200 or 300 yards. You're going to have to tackle it down. It's probably still squirming. It's alive. You're probably going to have to pick up a big stone and smash its skull. And guess what? Now you've got to carry that bitch home. You've got to pick it up, hoist it, throw it over your shoulders, and just lunge and crawl and drag that thing back to your, to wherever we lived. I don't even know, like a cave or something. And now you got to cut this sucker open. And like, it was work to even eat that thing. My wife and I went out for seafood a couple of weeks ago. We went on a date night. And I never do this, but I bought like lobster and crabs. And I was just like pissed off because I was like, I got to work for each piece of freaking meat that I'm eating here. I was like, I got to like dig into the skeleton and the bones and pull out all this food. And then it just, and I was pissed off. But then I went into just a different mindset and I started being appreciative. I'm like, you know what? Like if I was primal man and I was starving and I found this thing, I'd be just glorified to dig into the crustacean here and eat the little bit of meat that I'm getting. But I know I had to work hard to get it, and it was hard to come by. Now, we don't even appreciate it. Here's the thing. Regardless of the, I already mentioned the exercise, the physical exertion that it would take for you to get that piece of food. But you know the type of gratitude you would have? This is why people are upset. This is why people's lives suck. This is why people are depressed. The type of gratitude that would be expressed, that would just be welling up in your heart because the Great Spirit allowed you to eat that day, because of the hard work that you put in just to put a little bit of food in your mouth. Now, would have been overwhelming. The Native Americans, my brother was very into Native American spirituality, would pray and give thanks. They give ceremonies of thanks to like the deer gods or whatever was nourishing them for the season because of the gratitude for that food being placed in our mouth. Now we just freaking go through a drive-thru. Most people don't even know what they're eating. They don't know where it came from. They don't know what that animal was like, how it was abused and filled with antibiotics and steroids. They have no clue, and they have no gratitude for it. So regardless of the physical pain and deterioration that's associated with poor foods and lack of exercise, we are sick, sad, and depressed because we have no gratitude for the fact that that these were once living creatures. And it's a blessing. We live, it's like the paradox of plenty. We live in a society and we live in a time where things are so plentiful that we have absolutely zero thanks, zero gratitude for the things that are given to us. Because this shit could be stripped from our mouths any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, most people don't realize what's behind the curtain in terms of, where everything comes from and getting back to basics in terms of, what you're eating. And even, what you mentioned, it gave a thought that someone told me about, talking about, years ago, their grandmother would be, of course, baking bread or making a homemade pie. And they didn't worry about, how many calories in that pie because they probably burned twice as many calories making that pie from scratch than it was actually in the food itself. And, of course, the appreciation of it all comes into play as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're right, the appreciation because they knew where this food came from. They knew that it didn't come by easy because there may have been poor seasons earlier and the grain just wasn't there for it to be produced. And then for the grandmother to put their heart and soul. How many homes have people cooking in them these days?
Yeah, I know.
Very few.
Unfortunate.
And it's not only sad because of the nourishment deterioration, but it's sad because there's that lack of expression that person that creates food, that nourishes the family with, is able to provide. The mother of the home is like, she is literally the queen. She runs the home, especially because she nourishes the family. She puts her heart and soul into creating nourishing food to see her family grow from. But this doesn't happen any longer, and this is a part of our problem.
Yeah, great stuff, Elliot. In terms of the strongman, would you recommend is that a good way for young kids to get started into fitness?
Okay, I know you're bringing me back on track.
no, that's keep going, man.
I tend to go off. Now, the term strongman, I don't want to get confused with what you see on TV. Obviously, if you're competing in strongman, that's what you're going to be doing. But I tend to think of strongman more as functional training. That's basically where I was going with that earlier. and you know, hunting and stuff like that. So picking up things, dragging things, all made sense to me. They just they seemed primal. They seemed like what I should be doing, as opposed to sitting in a pec deck machine or laying down in a leg press. So when I first started doing it, it just felt right. You know, some of the exercises that I began with were sled dragging and sled pushing, and these are all, mind you, homemade sleds and things that I had made or found. Some of the other ones that just made perfect sense were like farmer's carries or farmer's walks. I mean, I don't think there's any other exercise that trains the nervous system and every single muscle in your body as hard as heavy farmer's walks. And it's funny that it's termed that way, because I'm sure it came from the fact that farmers, back when we lived in agrarian culture, had to carry buckets of milk after milking their cows, and these buckets were probably heavy. And that built a lot of strength in their arms and in their back and in their core. And if you've ever done them, you know how taxing it is on your cardiovascular system. So I just see these as superior exercises because they mimic what a human being is designed to do. And because they mimic what a human being is designed to do, because they're so close to our primal state, they give us the best benefit. You know, they give the best bang for their buck. So, for example, if you're just doing shoulder shrugs with a barbell, you're really totally missing the boat. You're not getting nearly the benefit you would if you were to do farmer's walks, where you're actually picking up two things in a similar fashion, but you're walking with them. You know, you're combining several patterns into one. So you've got your grip going, you've got your shrug going, so you're working your shoulders, you've got your legs going, you've got your cardiovascular system going. You've got, like, all systems going at once. And this is what makes it such a powerful exercise modality.
Yeah, you know, it certainly brings it back for me when I was, you know, just a teenager. Probably, I think it was the very first job I ever worked. I might have been 12 years old. And, of course, you know, helping with construction, just a laborer's work, working, you know, wheelbarrows full of cement and lugging, you know, 100-gallon buckets of cement or stuff like that. Or, you know, I remember we had to build a trail in our local park, and we lugged in 6x6 lumber on our shoulders. And, you know, at 12 years old, that was definitely, a wake-up call in terms of the next day. I knew I had, I felt muscles that I didn't think I had. So certainly that makes it obvious that way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. And, yeah, guys that are laborers have a better chance of getting that type of stuff in their daily lives.
Yeah, cool, Elliot. All right. I also heard you talk about, because, of course, you know, a lot of guys ask for supplements before they even start working out sometimes, unfortunately. But you give the truth about protein. I know you talk about, bringing it back to what's natural in terms of, because these days, you know, people pick up their egg whites and skim milk and, you know, of course, getting back to think they're doing the healthy thing, but it's maybe not the right thing to do.
Just clarify what you're asking me.
Yeah. I've heard you talk about, you know, the truth about protein in terms of, you know, how the people now are separating everything, the protein and the fats, and, you know, naturally protein and fats are found together in nature, of course. And, you know, it's probably, I try to tell guys, you know, it's better off, eat the whole egg, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, a lot of times you don't have to think too hard to get the truth. Did you think that nature screwed up? You know, it's like, that's a pretty arrogant idea that we need to separate the yolk from the egg. It's like, did God fuck up somewhere and, like, oops, by accident, I threw this yolk in here. I didn't realize it was going to give you high cholesterol. Or did you, like, and the same thing with milk and skim milk. It's like, did you really think Mother Nature had it all backwards? And when she made milk, there was, like, an accident. There was a little glitch in her system, and she didn't realize that fat was going to make you sick, sad, and screwed up. So we're pretty arrogant to think that we have to fix nature. The closer things are to their original state, the better they are. The further they are away from the way that God and nature intended it, the more we are asking for trouble. And if you just consider that principle, I think if we get a handful of principles down pat. We don't have to ask any questions. We just measure them up against principles. Do you realize that nature, we're not smarter than nature. Nature didn't screw up, and if we do things the way that nature intended us to, and it's not too hard to figure that out. You just look at the way it is, and the more we've intervened, the less it is close to nature, the better you are. The better you are if, by sticking close to things in their original form. So I can go into all the scientific reasons why fats are supposed to be combined with proteins, but it doesn't matter. We don't need all that confusion. We don't. I think human beings and just us in general in this day and age, we get so fascinated with facts and science, when really it's like we're just learning more and more and more about less and less. You just need to know the principles. If you just consider that nature didn't screw it up, then who cares about the scientific BS behind why it's good to do it this way? Because the scientists tell us new stuff every day on TV and then contradict it the next day.
Yeah, there we go. Guys, that's a great way to tie things in, because we're getting towards the end of the call. But yeah, what you said there, we won't have to ask any more questions, because it's the principles, it's the core principles is what matters. And it's sort of, everybody's gets the paralysis by analysis and just gets confused with too much information, which is definitely not necessary to take action, of course, which is the big thing. So Elliot, where can guys find more about you? Your website, you have a blog as well?
Yeah, if you go to HulseStrength.com, that's where you can find more of my rants. I throw up videos and blogs there, blog posts there every once in a while. I got a couple projects that I throw up on that website that you may be interested in. But essentially, if you're interested in what I'm talking about, if what I'm saying makes sense to you, a lot of people hate me, but some people like me, and what I'm saying makes sense to you. And if one thing is true, I have a deep conviction for the things that I'm talking about, and if that's appealing to you, then just go and read some of the stuff there, and I'm sure you'll be happy.
All right, guys, that's some awesome stuff. If you really think about some of the stuff Elliot said, and it'll really make you think about where you got to go next with your fitness as well as your family. So thanks, Elliot, so much for being on the call tonight.
Sure, Sean, I appreciate it. You gave me some chance to vent here.
All right, good, my man, good. Hopefully that helps with your recovery. All right, guys, that's Sean Barker signing off from DadFitness.com. See you later.